Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee and join us in the book of Mark, chapter 5. And we're going to be reading this. We finished yesterday by only reading part of a context. So we want to go back to the beginning of that context, and it starts in verse 21 and goes to verse 43, the end of the chapter. But this is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
And this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And thank you for joining us.
This is Matthew 5, verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd was gathered unto him, and he was by the sea. And one of the synagogue rulers cometh, Jairus by name, and seeing him, falleth at his feet, and beseecheth him much, saying, My little daughter is at death's point. I pray that thou come and lay hands on her, that she may be made whole and live. And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him, and they thronged him. And a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years.
Can I stop you back?
Sure.
at this great crowd following him? Here is a religious leader, and all the other religious leaders have rejected Jesus. And Jairus does this in front of a great crowd. And all these guys that are worried about their image, I'm talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, he's going to expose them that they're not doing anything. And if he falls down, he's basically saying, what we're doing is not working. I need help here. And it happens to be his daughter, somebody he dearly loves. And he is at the point of breaking, and he breaks rank. I'm putting a little differently the way I thought about this the last tape we did. But he breaks ranks, and he actually exposes them that they're ineffective. They're powerless.
That's true.
The religious leaders of the day.
Yeah, he didn't run to them.
And he's one of the synagogue rulers that's breaking rank.
And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him, and they thronged him. And a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many healers and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, having heard the things concerning Jesus, came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I touch but his garment, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she knew her body, that she was healed of the scourge. And straightway Jesus perceived in himself that power proceeded from him had gone forth, turned him about in the crowd, and said, Who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, Thou seest the crowd thronging thee, and sayest, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her, and that he had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had been done to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy scourge. While he was yet speaking, they come from the synagogue ruler's house, saying, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the teacher any further? But Jesus, overhearing the word spoken, saith to the synagogue ruler, Fear not, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow with him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, and he beholdeth a tumult, and many weeping and wailing greatly. And when he entered in, he says to them, Why make you a tumult and weep? The child is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But he, having put all forth, takes the father of the child and the mother of those with him, and goes in where the child was. And taking the child by the hand, he saith to her, Talitha cum, which is being interpreted as, Damsel, I say to thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose up and walked, for she was 12 years old. And they were amazed straightway with much great amazement, and he charged them much that no one should know this. And he spake that something may be given her to eat.
That straightway is, I think, number 24. It's the 24th time that word immediately is found. We're going to find it about 40 times in here. And I just wanted to bring that up again. All this is about if you go to a doctor or let's say a dentist and you need you got a toothache, when do you need help, Andy?
Right now.
And how about if you're dying? When you know?
Before right now.
Good answer. And how about if your kids are, you know, your kids are stop breathing? When do you need the doctor?
Right this moment.
And if you go into a restaurant, when do you like to be served?
Soon.
Yes. But the closer to death, the more, right? And some people want to go to the drive-up window because they want it right now. So you, okay. Why do you go to a drive-up window? Because you want it when?
Faster.
I can't get him to say immediately.
Immediately.
Okay. But
it's a hard word for me to use. Immediately.
But you can really use it with life and death, can't you, with the doctor? That's kind of funny. That's an interesting little experiment there. And I never thought it. I was just kind of messing around. But that really, it depends on life. Really, we're talking now life. And we're talking about a person dying. And here came Jesus, and he came at the right time to set men free from death. That's the real reason that Jesus came to the earth, was to actually, he had to be perfect. He could not sin. And he had to be, because it has to be a lamb without spot or blemish. He did that first part, but the main target goal was to set men free from sin and death, to take our sins upon him, die in our place as a sacrificial lamb, die for all, die for the sins of the world. But not everybody accepts that. But that is the main focus point. That is the reason he came. And Andy's quiet. And what do you have to say, Andy?
Not only did he raise her from the dead, and then he told them, to give her something to eat. Just to bring it back down, he was here. He said, now give her something to eat.
And it was through...
I mean, that's written in here.
It was through Jesus' death that our spirit, inner man, is saved. It is through the blood that our mind or soul is being saved. And it is through the resurrection that our body will soon or someday be raised into an eternal heavenly body. Remember, this is the kingdom. Change your mind, because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. And we were all born with an earthly, you know, of the dust. He made man. But this resurrected body is actually going to be a heavenly body, an eternal body that we will have.
And he told them, nobody should know this happened.
But did they obey him?
Well, we haven't seen yet.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll look for that, right?
It was important for him that no one know that he raised her from the dead.
But it doesn't answer that question.
It doesn't answer that, no.
No, but we can always ask that question. These are things, do you have your little list of questions you just have to know and ask right from the Lord? And maybe you won't know on this earth, but someday you'll be able to find these answers out. So we're in chapter 6, starting in verse 1, reading from 1 to 6. And we are following Jesus. This is the same. All this passage of Scripture starts in Mark chapter 1, verse 21, when Jesus gets baptized, starts his ministry. This is the way it handles it in Mark. It starts with his, at age 30, becoming a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, didn't he, Andy? And that happens when he fulfills all the things that the priest has to do. And the final thing is to die for us. This priest is going to die for us, not just kill a lamb. He is going to die for us. That's an I'm amazed again when I think about that, how it's beyond belief. This whole thing is just beyond belief of what Jesus did for us. And it starts, and all these contexts are connected by the word chi. You must add them together. The story's not finished. And we are invited as his disciples, so we're walking along with him. And even today, we're invited as his disciples to come and walk with him. And this walk is not done yet until we get together to the end where there's no more ands, to this plus this happens, plus this happens. It's the word and in the Greek. It's called chi. They're all additive. And we are in Mark 6. We're still, this is Jesus's all the things he does, being a servant to mankind. It's not finished yet. And so we're in verse 1 through 6, which starts with and again.
And he went out thence and cometh to his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And the many hearing him were astonished, saying, Whence has this man these things? And what the wisdom given this man? And what means such mighty works wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they stumbled at him. And Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he lay hands upon a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief.
Now, if you back up and you look at where he was, where was he?
Nazareth.
He was in his own country, where he grew up.
Right.
They know him as a kid. They know him in first grade, second grade, third grade. They watched him.
Well, among his own kin and in his own house.
Well, they didn't know him first, second, third grade. But they knew him after a while in grammar school because sometimes, you know, they fled when he was a little baby and so on. But anyway, most of his life he grew up in Nazareth. And all these people knew him in the flesh. Yet what's really funny, my grandma, I didn't get along with her on my mom's side. I did not get along with her at all. And until I was 23 years of age, and you know what I did at age 23? I was converted. I became a disciple. I went and got baptized just like Jesus did.
Oh.
And I went and sat down with my grandma after that, and all of a sudden I go, wow, she's great. I sure. And I've come to find out she was too. It was me. The problem was me. And so, but isn't this the case of these guys? It wasn't Jesus' problem. It was his brothers, sisters, or relatives, or people that knew him. It doesn't say exactly who they are, but later on, his disciples and his mom definitely, obviously, were believers.
Sure.
And it actually gives you the name. Look at the names, his names. And what are they?
Well, I tell you one thing that there's some confusion with in Christianity is they don't know this one verse right here, that his mother Mary had a brother, Jesus had a brother named James, and Joseph and Judas and Simon, let's see, that's four. And then he had sisters, which is at least two. So now we have seven children in this family. And there are those that try to make Jesus be the only kid in the family. It's just ridiculous. This is a verse that tells you these names. So there are at least seven children in brothers and sisters, six brothers and sisters of Jesus, at least.
It brings it down to human form.
It sure does.
And personal.
Yes.
You know, can you imagine growing up with Jesus and maybe you saw some character flaw you thought, and he didn't have any, and it was actually you. You know, a lot of people project their own things onto other people. You ever notice that? People that have a like, put two proud people in the same house and see how long that lasts. You know, they have the same, or two angry people, they have people with anger problems, or two people that have a lazy problems, and you got problems. And these brothers and sisters, or whoever it's talking about here, are cousins or relatives or people that grew up in the same town, they probably saw something, and they're likely, well, they couldn't have been seeing anything wrong with Jesus. They had to be projecting something out there that maybe they're prejudiced. That's kind of a funny, this is a funny story, isn't it? Isn't it interesting? This is thrown in here. So he starts his ministry at age 30 and he leaves town. First thing he does.
And they were astonished because apparently he hadn't been teaching before. Do you see that? You wouldn't be astonished if you'd seen it previously. So here's Jesus comes back and he's doing all these things and they're like, and they didn't, that was new to them. They had not seen any of these things or heard any of these from him. But you would think that that word had gotten to him, but apparently not enough.
So this apparently, it's obvious that these are not people in his family. But I think there's a place that showed one of his relatives doing something, and it showed that they weren't understanding. But these are people definitely not in his immediate family, and they are, but they still knew him from school, from town, from work, or whatever.
So this piece right here that we have, we'll see if there's another piece somewhere within Luke or John, or maybe even more in Mark, that will bring this piece to a lighter, more knowledge.
You know, we have two eyes that's going to give us another view, and you'll see all three dimensions, right?
Yes.
Or four dimensions or whatever. Okay. Verses, well, 6b, it goes, that context is 1 through 6a.
And also, Gil, it's amazing to me that previous story about raising someone from the dead was there, and then it comes right to this story of him and nobody believing him at all.
Right.
that's interesting.
Well, it said a few.
A few, but I mean.
Yeah. It said.
Not to the point above, meaning not raised from the dead, none of that.
And there he could do there no mighty works save he laid hands upon a few.
Sick people.
A few. Many called, but few chosen.
And it says Jesus marveled because of their unbelief.
So here's Nazareth, and everybody paints this picture of Nazareth. Here's the baby in Nazareth, and here's a town full of unbelief. It's really funny how we look at things. Don't worship a town. Don't give, oh, Jesus of Nazareth. And, you know, they sing these songs, and, oh, by the way, that town was, it had very little belief.
Oh, by the way, I do know a story that will elevate this, but I will not talk about it right now.
It's not permitted yet.
It's not permitted yet. Because we'll see it and we'll remember what this conversation.
Are we talking about Luke or John?
Luke.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yes.
The parallel scriptures are not in John. They're Matthew, Mark, Luke. John has a whole different view, a whole different start.
And, you know, honestly, we can't wait to get there, but yeah. We're going to do it one piece at a time.
Oh, do we have? We have to wait?
We are not going to go playing and playing around. We're going to walk, and when we're walking through this, you're walking with us as we do it, and so this would be the way to do it.
We are actually holding ourselves back. You wouldn't believe this.
We are holding ourselves back.
And we're learning so much more by holding ourselves back, so we're not—
We're reminding ourselves we have to hold ourselves back.
You know what part of us has to hold back? The smarty pants part.
Exactly, the knowledgey part.
You know, there's a smarty pants dance. We don't want to do the smarty pants dance. No. But anyway, what we want to be is learners, students, and under. And so this is second grade. We want to stay right here because there are so many things I missed, Andy. And you can admit it too.
In getting right at this, yes, the and we never thought about that.
Just found that out today.
Today,
And what you wouldn't believe what we found out yesterday, too. You have to listen to the whole series. It's pretty remarkable how we showed a lack of intelligence in a few places. Anyway, Mark chapter 6, this is 6b through 6:13.
And he went round about the villages teaching, and he called to him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two. And he gave them authority over the unclean spirits and charged them that they take nothing for the journey save a staff only, no bread, no wallet, no brass in the girdle, but shod with sandals, and not to put on two coats. And he said to them, wherever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart thence. And whatever place receive you not, and they hear you not, as you go forth thence, shake off the dust that is under your feet for a witness to them. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many sick and cured them.
Did you know what he taught them was just to teach repentance? That's all it says here.
That's what it says.
Did he send them out in Matthew?
Yeah. Well, he sent them out. I'll go back to Mark chapter 3. And he goes up to the mountain, and he called unto him whom himself would. And they went away to him, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, and that they be with him, and that he send them forth to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. And there you go. That's what it says there. But it didn't say this part. This is really clearer.
What verses did you read?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was in Mark chapter 3:13. Through 19.
But it doesn't say they went out yet. They might have gone out at that time.
And he sent them forth.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying what it says. But it didn't say, they didn't say repent.
There's no details beyond that.
That's right. The details are over here in this story.
Now we know in chapter 6, they went out and preached that men, and they did go out. Now we know they went out here. That could have been a charge, but maybe they weren't sent out yet. And maybe they were. I won't.
And he says, and began to send them forth two by two.
Okay. There you go.
So that when he sent them out, he told them all these things.
So that's Mark what now?
This is Mark chapter 6.
No, Mark 3.
Oh, Mark 3 when he did that first part. Okay, hold on. I'll tell you. Mark 3:13.
But it doesn't say there he began to send him out in Mark 3.
No, he did not say that. It says.
Okay. So we don't know anything more than that.
Well, it says that they be with him and that he send them forth to preach and have authority over demons, and he appointed them. So
doesn't say he sent them out, though. I mean, that's...
It says that they be with him and that he send them out.
Yeah, that in other words, that
maybe... That's going to happen.
Maybe they had some more teaching, and maybe this is exactly when he sent them out.
He did the apostle part here, yeah, and gave them the authority, but here's a lot of instructions over here.
And he might have... This might be the intent here.
Yeah, I
in
see
three.
That. That's the first part.
But this is a first evidence of seeing them go out. And they went out.
Well, and the 12 he called to him were the apostles. See, that's what it's getting at.
You see how we talk back and forth? We're trying to figure this out. But we've done this over the years. And then all of a sudden, somebody will come out of the audience and they will have something that just clears it all up. It's really interesting. And you learn by asking questions. And I've heard things that are amazing that have come out of these types of discussions, because we have to agree with all the Bible. We have to agree with all these parallel scriptures, and there's probably more. We haven't gotten here into Luke, and
I don't even know if we've run into a parallel in Matthew that we were doing this with.
That's what I was asking.
So I don't know if we've done that or not. I don't remember.
Yeah,
but this is sewing these things together. Yeah. I mean, in a chronological order, it would seem that he did some big move, and now he's doing the specific move.
He picks the 12.
Yeah. and makes them apostles. That's a big part right there.
Yeah.
And power over unclean spirits, big part. Now it's details of to do this and then to what take with you and to what not take with you and to enter a house and depart. And if people receive you, what to do. And if they don't receive you, what to do. Yeah, and he's talking about anointing with oil many sick. So he's opened up a whole new set of
And is he practices. Talking about a different kind of a sickness, like a mental problem? We'll get into that. This is not like a physical healing necessarily, but we're not going to, we'll go, but don't go make up your mind, because a lot of people, he would speak the word and they'd be healed. He'd lay hands on them. I never saw Jesus anoint them yet. So hold off on that when you might be doing it wrong. I'm not going to say anymore until we see other evidence. And we know truth is on the evidence of two or more scriptures. So we're going to back off on some of the things that we know, but we're not going to say them yet until we get to that.
We're just going to say what's said until we can see the connectors.
Yeah. We've compared these all before, but we're going to do it this way. And verses 14 through 29.
And King Herod heard it, for his name had become known, and they were saying that John the Baptizer is risen from the dead, and therefore the powers are working in him. But others says that it is Elijah, and others says that it is a prophet, as one of the prophets. But Herod, when he heard it, said, John, whom I am beheaded, he is risen. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, because he'd married her. For John was saying to Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have the wife of thy brother. And Herodias set herself against him and wished to kill him and could not. For Herod was afraid of John, knowing him as a righteous and holy man, and kept him safe. And when he heard him, he was much perplexed. He heard him gladly. And when the convenient day was come, when Herod was on his birthday, made a supper to his lords and the colonels and the chief men of Galilee. And when his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and the guests. And the king said to the damsel, ask me whatever thou wilt, and I will give thee. And he sware to her, whatsoever thou shalt ask me, I will give thee unto half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptizer. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and requested, saying, I will that thou forthwith give me on a platter the head of John the Baptist. And though the king was very sorry for the sake of his oaths and for the guest, he would not refuse her. And straightway the king sent forth one of his guard and commanded to bring his head. And he went away and beheaded him in prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the damsel. And the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb.
Here's another immediately, and it pertains to John the Baptist, the end of the priesthood and the beginning of a new priesthood, which is Jesus Christ. This is the end of the physical priesthood. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.